And so this morning, as you stand with me as we read from James chapter 3, I hope that your heart will be set on God's Word this morning. James chapter 3.
Find out
verses 1 through 12 is where we'll be.
You can visit us on the web at www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call our church office at 281-576-6030. Let's join our pastor this morning as he delivers our sermon from the Word of God.
A perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a force is set ablaze by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. Man, that is some tough scripture right there. Let's keep going. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessings and curses. My brothers, these things ought not be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just ask that this morning as we spend this time in your word, that you would make yourself evident, that your word would be made clear. And Father, as we think about what we say, Father, may our opinions never trump your word. May our thoughts never take the place of your thoughts. And Father, may our mouths only speak what is glorifying and uplifting and useful to building one another up according to your purpose and your will. Lord, we thank you for your word and how practical it is. We pray all these things in your holy Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. So many of you have experienced getting in trouble because of something you said. Anybody in the room? I know there's a few of us. You said something. Maybe it was last night that you said something she really didn't mean to when you're tired. Talking to a couple this week and was thinking about it, and we got some information years ago from a friend of ours, and we were talking about marriage and how sometimes it seems that there's this times of frustration, and he said, hey, you shouldn't talk about anything important after 9 p.m. And we were like, wait, what? And he goes, you should not. If you want to have a happy marriage, which I believe happy wife, happy life. That's one of the things I truly believe. But if you want to have a happy marriage, he said, stop talking about things that are important after 9 p.m. And we kind of sat there and we're like, really? He goes, yeah, because you're drained at that point and you are going to say, well, I really don't care. I'm tired. And you're just going to say something. And man, I want to tell you something. The moment that we really said, okay, after 9, we're going to kind of lay, but we'll talk about football, we'll talk about birthday parties that the kids got to go to, things like that, but we're not going to talk about parenting, we're not going to talk about things like that. It was amazing how much easier it was to have a conversation because we weren't so drained. But the problem wasn't necessarily that we were tired, it was the words that we used to communicate what we're trying to communicate. Half the time, I say something, and Rhonda gets something completely different out of what I say. And as one comedian says, he always looks at his wife and goes, what did you just hear me say? She repeats what he said, and then he goes, I can work with that. Let's keep moving. Because sometimes our words can be misconstrued, but at face value, many times our words are not misconstrued. Many times our words are just the problem. And so as he tackles this, he begins to tackle the power of words. And I want to talk to you about three different ways that words have power over your life. The first thing that he says is that it has power to direct. Now, he opens up his whole thing with this message to teachers, and he talks about himself, because when you are assigned leadership to teach the Word of God and to lead people, what you say is not only going to be held at a higher level, it's also going to be scrutinized, and then three, it's going to be followed. Many times, whenever we speak, it is a travesty that pastors don't do their homework, that they don't understand what the text says, that they don't want to dig in deep, because they are going to be held accountable before God higher than other people. And at the same time, teachers, if you're in Sunday school, we count on you doing the homework. We count on you spending the time before the Lord. And I want to tell you something. If you're not plugged into a Bible study, I'm looking out around the room at our Sunday school teachers we have here. We have incredible Sunday school teachers or Bible study leaders here at the church. And if you're not plugged in, you're missing out on what God has been doing in a teacher's life that they want to pour into you, that they want to share with you, that they want to say, hey, come with us as we journey through life, as we learn about what God wants to do in life. And so he opens up with saying, hey, teachers, you are going to be judged stricter. And then he goes into we all. He says, we all stumble in many ways. You see, your words have power to direct your life. Just like you said yes to a marriage, and hopefully you've said yes to Jesus Christ, those things have changed you completely. But it says in verse 2, is anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body. So what does that tell us? It's easy to have an appearance of who you are. It's easy to live out a Christian image outside of your body. It's one of those things. I'll be real honest with you. If people look at my life, there's a lot of things that they go, oh, well, he's never done that. He's never done that. He's never done that. And that's something that Paul even says. Hey, I was the Jew of Jews. I'm from the tribe of Judah. I'm a Pharisee. I know the law inside and out, and I've followed it all my days. It's that look that most people are looking for. It's what they want to see. However, we know God looks on the inside as man looks on the outside. And Jesus would give harsh words about our words, because he says, from the heart, the mouth speaks. You see, it's easy to live out a picture-perfect life sometimes. And we get upset whenever something in our family, when the crazy in our families, and y'all got some crazy in your family? Nobody in here has crazy in their family? I got some crazy in my family. Sometimes I'm the crazy in my family. But whenever that happens, we get all upset because that's going to rock the boat. Somebody's actually going to know that we have something going on in our life. But we try to whitewash our life. The problem is that our tongue is not so easy to whitewash. Our tongue is not so easy to put under control. And he makes the statement that if you can control your tongue, you've become a perfect man. So what does that mean? It's impossible to control your tongue without the power and saving grace of Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit. And so I want to start off by just first saying, if you have a problem with the way you speak, and that's as simple as it gets, if you have a problem with the way you speak, the Holy Spirit is not reigning in your life. The Lord is not Lord of your life unless he's also Lord of your lips. And church, this is so easy to pick up that he says, hey, we put bits in the mouths of horses that they obey us and that guides our whole body. Look at the ships. And he gives us these two pictures. He's going to give us three, but these two pictures of how your life is going to be directed by the way you speak. Now, I'm not going all charismatic, health and wealth and all that stuff that you speak over your life. It's directing you a certain way. What I am saying is, if we believe that from your heart, your mouth speaks, that means when your mouth speaks, that direction is where you're going. You can't change that. And when he talks about the bit, if you've never seen a bit in a horse's mouth, many of you here work with horses, been around horses. Some of you may not. It is not a pleasant, contraption, okay? A bit is a piece of metal that is stuck, and it is back behind their teeth. It rests up against the jaw where it connects together, and it's that fleshy part back there. If you've had your wisdom teeth removed, it's that area right back there. And whenever that horse is doing something that the rider does not want to, it is called negative reinforcement, okay? That's what it is. It's negative. And all of a sudden, it's like a hook in a fish's mouth. I mean, it's yanking that horse. And the only way to get relief from that pressure, from that negative reinforcement, is for the horse to turn its head. That is the only way. And so when we think about this picture of this bit being in this horse's mouth, many times we think, well, it's okay, it's just something that I said. No, God is saying you have to put something in your mouth. That's what James is saying. You need this picture of negative reinforcement that sometimes it's going to be what you have to walk through because of your words that should be negative reinforcement. But your body, your mouth, your life is going to be directed, and your words are going to be that bit that's pulling you. And whenever we think about the ship, it's talking about the rudder. Your Bible may say helm. I know that's in a lot of Bibles. The helm and the rudder, same word in Greek. This is rudder, is what it's talking about, because he says a small piece directs a large ship. You know, as we look at everything in the world today, we see all sorts of organizations that are living and dying by the words that they say across social media and in the news, interviews that they give. We have companies that have gone under because of something that they've said. We have companies that are getting more business because of something they said. And this picture to me about the ship, yes, it applies to our life, but what about organizations like our church? You know, people ask me, you know, this is going to surprise some of y'all. Some of y'all think I'm moving at the speed of light and that we're changing so many things, okay? I feel like we have changed very little in the sense of how we do things at the church. That's just me personally. But some people think I'm going really fast. And so when they talk to me, I'm like, hey, it takes time to turn a what? A ship. You don't just turn the wheel and all of a sudden you're a 90-degree turn. You know, this ain't a motorcycle that you can kind of hit the brake, let that back wheel come around beside you and take off. A ship takes time. You know, and sometimes we need some of that, those tugboats from the spiritual, from the Holy Spirit. Sometimes the ship's going a place and we got to get those boats to come over and push us where we need to go. Because our tongue is going to direct us, and that's what we have to understand, is that it has the power to direct our lives. It's so small. So the question this morning is, when it comes to direct, who's your pilot? Look what it says at the very end of verse 4. It says, in verse 4, it says, they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. Who's your pilot? Who has control of what comes out of your mouth? What is controlling what comes out of your mouth? Where is that being poured out from? Where is that fountain being sprung from? Where do your words come from? The second thing that I want you to see is it has the power to destroy. I don't know. I might skip some verses right there. Did I skip a bunch of verses right there? Okay, we'll come back to them because I like them here better. But it has the power to destroy. If you haven't heard on the news, there's another wildfire over in Bastrop, Texas, which is, we served in Bastrop for about 4 years. It's a smaller one. But this is what Bastrop looked like in 2011. We had moved away from there 2 years prior to this. All this was started because a tree lost a limb and fell on some electrical lines, and it sparked. And it was just the right season. There was a tropical storm out in the Gulf that was creating high winds. The whole time we lived in Bastrop and in Austin, we were there for about 8 years, 7.5, 8 years. It rained very little. In fact, the first time when we moved to Kingwood and it rained for more than like an hour, our girls thought that we needed to build a boat. They were like, we're all going to die. And because they had never truly seen rain before. I mean, it was crazy how that drought played out. And that's when Lake Travis was almost empty out there in the hill country. And so that's what Bastrop looked like. And it was just this perfect storm, and a tree just lost a limb, hit some power lines, and it started two small fires that later would join together, and then a third started. They don't know if it was from a cigarette butt or whatever. Not only do cigarettes cause cancer, they also cause forest fires, apparently. That whole fire consumed that area. It's a tragedy that two people lost their lives in a fire. It's amazing that over 1,600 homes were destroyed during that. 40 business structures were destroyed. Over $325 million worth of damage done for that. This is the same picture that he gives us about our tongue. He says the tongue is set among us, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life. You know, one of my friends used to say, I can't figure it out. It seems like everywhere I turn, there's a problem. And I wasn't the one to say this, and one of my friends looked at him and said, well, shut up. That's what he said to him. I mean, I was like, hey, I didn't live with the guy. I just heard the statement, and I was like, what does he mean by that? And a few minutes later, it was really, he kept talking his way into problems. He always had an opinion about what something should be done and how something should be done at work. He had a problem with how something his wife did. He had a problem with something his kids did. He had a problem with the church. He had a problem with everything. It was always about problems, and he was always upset, and his words would come out, and it sets on fire, and it sets your whole life on fire, and you are going to direct the way that people view you, the way that life is lived out in your life, the way that you walk is going to be directed by your words. Now, this is important because, hey, I'm going back to those verses right now, Fred. Proverbs, I tell y'all all the time, if you don't have a Bible reading, read one proverb a day, 1 through 31. There's a proverb for every day. But Proverbs 15:1 says this, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Very simply. Next one is Proverbs 12:2. Says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who act faithfully are his delight. Are your words exactly what you say? What you say is your beliefs with that, is your actions with that. And then Proverbs 10:19 says, when words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whosoever restrains his lips is prudent. This weekend, Kelly's, y'all are getting shout out to y'all over there. We kept the Kelly girls this weekend. So that means in my house, there were 7 ladies in my house this week. Okay, there are 7. Words were not few. Okay, them little girls can talk 90 miles an hour all day, every day. Okay, it was crazy. They were just having a blast. We enjoyed hearing their laughter and their fun. But I was just like, when they left, it was like I was alone in the house. Even though there was still people in the house, I was like, it's so quiet. Because my girls are quiet, their girls are gone. But it's noise. And I want to ask you a question. Are you just making noise with your mouth, or are you actually speaking words that mean something? You see, the reason that fires are started is because the pilot hasn't been chosen first. Who's directing your life? Who's steering the ship? But then also, many times, we are just speaking words that we feel need to be said. Whether we are in the right or whether we are not doesn't really matter. Sometimes it's what we say that causes the issues. Again, he goes back in verse 7 that every kind of beast has been tamed, but no one can tame the tongue. I want to point out 2 things to you. The first says is that it's set on fire by hell. This is a harsh statement right here. The word that he uses is Gehenna. And Gehenna is the place of gnashing of teeth. It is the place that is reserved for Satan and his demons and for those who reject Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. It is the place that people will go to be completely banished from God. And he says that words, useless words, painful words, words that are not restrained, ones that are not washed by the Word of God, it sets life on fire, but not just on fire from hell, from Gehenna. The picture here is that it is a place that is devastating, ugly, and gruesome. Gehenna is also the name of a valley that is right beside Jerusalem. And in Jeremiah, there's five references to this valley. And this valley is where unbelievers would go and sacrifice their children to the god of Molech, where they would literally take their own flesh and blood and they would lay them down and they would sacrifice them to somebody, to something, a figment of people's imagination. And that's the picture that he wants us to understand about our words, that we destroy life, what's most precious to us, whenever we do not take our words seriously and we do not think that they have the power to destroy. They destroy everything. And just like unbelievers laying their children down and sacrificing them to a god, I want to ask you a question. What are you making sacrifices to with your words? What are you bending your knee to with your words? What are you bowing down before with your words? Is it yourself? Is it your job? Is it your family? Is it your wife? Is it your pride? Is it your image? You see, we use words to protect ourselves. But our words have grave consequences. Somebody did the study for every word that's in Mein Kampf, which that is Hitler's manifesto that he wrote while in prison before he would take control of Germany in the 1930s. For every word written in that book, 125 people died. For every word that was written in that book, 125 people died in World War II. Church, our words should look drastically different from everybody else's. Because not only do we have a thought process, a Bible, but we have the Word, Jesus Christ, who is life, who said, I come to give you life and give it more abundantly. But words often are meant to destroy instead of to build up. I referenced this earlier in Matthew chapter 12. You can write this down. If you want to flip there, you can real quick, but we're just going to be there for just a second. Listen to what Jesus says about words in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew 12:33 says this, either make the good tree and its good fruit, or make the bad tree and its bad fruit, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, listen, this is important, because this is every word in this is God's word. Jesus' words are not any more important than what is written in Genesis, but this is Jesus saying something. We need to listen up, because it hinges on what James is saying, hinges on this. Verse 36, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. It doesn't say unbelievers. It doesn't say those who lived a bad life. It doesn't say those who were mean. It doesn't say those who bullied. It says people will give account for every careless word that they speak. For by your words you will be justified. Justified means proved innocent. And by your words you will be condemned. Man, some of us right now going through our head, man, how many careless words have I said in my life? Thousands, millions, billions. Has the power to destroy. Third power that he talks about is the power to delight. He gives us a contrast. He compares and contrasts. If you're an English a teacher or major, you like this kind of stuff because it's part of writing, compare and contrast. But he says this, we bless the Lord and we curse people who are made in the likeness of God with our own. That's in verse 9. Then he says, from the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. And then he talks about the two things. A spring cannot give both fresh and salt water. A fig tree can't give olives, and a grapevine can't give figs. Neither can a salt poniard fresh water. What's he saying right there? He's saying, listen, what you say shows who you really are. What you say shows who you really are. There is no way to get around how we speak and what it means about who sits on the throne of our heart. We can't make division. We can't say that was just what I say at work. That's just because I'm the boss, I have to talk like that. I've heard that 1,000 times. Hey, I have to act like that because if I'm not like that, if I don't talk to them like that, nothing gets done. Why don't we try acting like Jesus and caring about somebody and maybe something will get done just because they love you back? But I don't know how many times my dad was told that. We just don't understand how you get things done. We've never heard you say a curse word. Now, I'm not telling you my dad is an angel, but I will say this. My dad, he believes that the word of God changes lives, and he wants to live it out in front of the people that he employs. And he's the boss. And I have never heard my dad once say a curse word. He's been angry. Trust me, he has been angry with some workers. The day that you have to go to a job site because one of your workers takes a piece of threaded rod and whacks the back of another guy because he got upset about a football game, yeah, that's not a good day. Okay? That's not a good day. But in those moments, that's when I got to see what is the heart of my dad really like. Who is my dad? It was those moments of anger that there was no cursing. There was no worthless remarks. There was no degrading of a person. So whenever Rhonda and I are in a dispute late at night, heated fellowship as we like to call them, who am I really? If I had a recording of every word that I said to her and I listened to them, who am I really? I'm asking you today, just are you claiming that you love God yet you curse those who are made in His image? Because in this text, yes, we can fool ourselves and say, hey, we can do both, but it's not in the text. We can say we can live life and talk however we want. That's not in the text. But what is in the text is that we can delight the Lord with our words. We can give Him honor through the way that we talk, because even though it says cursing and blessing can't come from the same mouth, cursing can come from a mouth, but also so can blessing. Salt water can come from a mouth, sour water can come from a mouth, but guess what? So can fresh water. So this morning, who is Lord in your life? Proverbs 4:23. It's amazing. This wise old man had a lot of things to say about our lips. But Proverbs 4:23 says this, that we should protect our heart with diligence. Keep your heart with all vigilance. For from it flow the springs of life. Put away from you crooked speech and put devious talk far from you. This morning, as we think about this text, you may be sitting next to the person that you are the most unkind to with your words. You may be sitting next to the child that you ring nightly with your words. You may be sitting as far away from the person that you talk about because of a sin attitude in your life about somebody else in the bride of Christ. Doesn't mean that they are perfect or right or that you weren't right. It just means that you may be sitting somewhere just based on where somebody else is sitting, and that is a sin problem. Have your words played out what's really in your heart? Because I truly believe every word of the Scripture. And when Jesus said that we will give account for every careless word, my heart's desire is, one, not to talk as much. But two, that when I say something, that I am listening to the verses that say, do not let any unwholesome talk come from your mouth, but only that which is useful for building one another up. I want to use words that Jesus would use whenever He had an encounter with a lady at a well who He could have said, hey, be gone from me, you adulteress. He could have called her every name. He had every right to. He was perfect. He was clean. Everything about Jesus was there. And what did He say to her? Hey, if you knew who you're talking to, you would ask Him for a drink. He extended life to those that lived outside God's will. He extended it to them to see what they would say. When we think about Peter, he was a rough man, a fisherman, and he extends life to him. Not even just to get him to follow him, but even during the course of training him to be a shepherd of a church as a disciple, whenever he would act up, Jesus would say, hey, come back, reel that in. You ever said something you just automatically wish you could just like reel it back up and shove it back in? Doesn't work that way? But even when Peter did that, it was just like that. And even when he denied him at the end of his life, after the resurrection, he would come back and say, hey, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Today, as we enter a time of invitation, I just want to ask you, what are your words saying to people?
Once again, we'd like to thank you for joining us. If you'd like to contact this ministry, you can do so by visiting www.oldriverbaptist.com, or you can call the office at 281-576-6030. Our mailing address is 12948 FM 1409, Dayton, Texas, 77535. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to seeing you next week.